Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bells and important safety information. Subscription required. Refund available for 60 days after purchase.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same but is 90% cheaper? And you can get it online? Just go to 4hymns.com/joy. You'll get a free medical consultation, discreet shipping if prescribed, a 100% online process, and trusted generic alternatives to the biggest brands at 90% off. That's right. Get generic for Viagra, the same active ingredient as brand name Viagra, but 90% cheaper. It's the same medication you get from your doctor, but with zero copay, no expensive appointments, and no awkward face-to-face conversations. Results are guaranteed or your money back. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, 4hymns.com/joy. That's 4hymns.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
Red Friday is brought to you throughout the season by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Blue KC, here for good.
If you listen to 610 Sports Radio on your phone,
let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here. We are off early today at 5 o'clock because of the Royals. Soon enough, the Royals will be out of our way, and we can talk about football for a full 20 hours a week. Again, my name is Carrington Harrison. Jed Marshall filling in for Rob as he is getting over COVID. Rob will be back on Monday. We'll head to Tampa Bay here coming up in about 15 minutes. Now, maybe I am off on this, and I'm certain the text line will tell me, 913-586-7610. But for a game between Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady, it doesn't feel like it has the necessary buzz and energy that is typically attached to a game in which involves Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. Maybe it's because the Chiefs lost last week, and it certainly was a disappointing loss. The Chiefs beat themselves, in my opinion. The Colts did not beat them. The Chiefs had every opportunity to go out there and win that football game, and they gave it to the Indianapolis Colts. And in some ways, the refs took it from you with the Chris Jones penalty. Maybe it's been because of all the things that are happening right now in Florida, and there are much bigger things in football going on. Maybe it's the conversation about where this game was going to be played that was a couple-day conversation when we thought there was a chance that it could be played in Minneapolis. But this is the first time that playing Tom Brady doesn't really feel special. I think in some ways, this is the most relatable Tom has ever been. We don't got to get into Tom's marital problems, but everybody is aware that everything ain't good in the Brady household. Brady right now is not living with his family. Brady is co-parenting with his wife. Some of you can relate to that. You know, you and your wife, you and your girl have separated. You trying to get things back together. I think for the first time, people feel bad for Tom Brady. Brady just doesn't seem to have that same spark, that same energy that he normally has. This is the worst season finale to a television show that I can remember. I mean, it is a Game of Thrones level bad final season for Brady. Brady was supposed to go off with the Jeter send-off. He was supposed to go off with the Kobe send-off, the Dwayne Wade. Go out like Elway. He's going out like a sad old man. I don't want to see Tom going out like that. And deep down, you don't want to see Tom go out like that either. You want to beat the man when he feels like he's on top. And Tom feels like he's just going through the motions. Have you seen one moment from Tom that would suggest that he's having fun this season. Every time I see Tom Brady, he seems mad. He's yelling at somebody. He's yelling at himself. He's breaking stuff. He's having temper tantrums. Tom's like a big three-year-old right now. Nothing about Tom Brady feels like Tom Brady. This is the first time that I can remember playing Tom Brady just doesn't feel special. I mean, these have been big-time matchups. They've been Sunday Night Football. They've been in the playoffs. They've been in the Super Bowl. These are two teams that are good teams that we think are going to make the playoffs, that are playing on Sunday Night Football, the biggest stage that the NFL has to offer, and it just feels kind of eh. A lot of that also has to do with Tampa Bay's offense. Jed, really quick, how many touchdown drives do you think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have had this season? They have played three games. How many touchdown drives do you think that the Buccaneers have put together this year?
Four.
Three. They have scored exactly one touchdown in each of their games. They can't score. Tampa Bay is playing a very unexciting brand of football. Very slow, very methodical, very defense-driven. Just bad brand of football. The most exciting thing to happen to Tampa Bay so far this season is a fight. Not a single touchdown drive. They just look disorganized. If you've been listening to the show, you've heard me say that your team takes on the personality of its leader. Based on what we think we know about Tom Brady's home life, is that not what we're seeing from the Bucs once they get to work? They look disinterested because at times Brady looks disinterested. They don't always look focused because Brady doesn't always look focused. Brady has the demeanor of a man who's been up arguing with his wife all night. You know when you see your brother come into the office, you're like, man, you look like crap. Man, didn't get a lot of sleep last night. What were you doing? Me and the lady going back. Oh, I get it. Say no more. I get it. I understand. I've been there before. Tom Brady just, he carries that energy around him. It just doesn't feel special playing Tom Brady right now. We'll head to Tampa Bay here coming up in a bit. I do want to get the Tampa Bay perspective on what we've seen from the Buccaneers the first 3 weeks of the season and if they think it's going to change against Kansas City on Sunday Night Football. But we have to talk about the top story in the NFL also in the state of Florida.
To a rolling left with the grain, and down he goes. Slung down in his own 48-yard line. Josh Tupu. And, well, we saw last week, and he went down. He got up. Was wobbly. The training staff comes out. And, of course, the last thing the Dolphins wanted to see. I mean, last week it looked for all the world. Everybody thought head injury, concussion, passed the protocol, came back second half. Led him to a victory.
And Al Tupou slams him to the ground. I mean, it's you think about the back, the ankle, but he gets thrown to the ground.
Again, wrenching that back, which was the issue last week.
Yep.
So they work on him. We'll step away for a moment.
That audio is courtesy of Amazon and Thursday Night Football yesterday. We have heard a lot of comments, a lot of thoughts, a lot of opinions about what happened last night in Thursday Night Football. But in my opinion, everyone is afraid to acknowledge the one thing that, to me, the NFL and also the Players Association have shown time and time again. The concept of player safety is a myth. Now, I am not a doctor. I graduated with a mass communications degree. But everybody could see that something was wrong with Tua last Sunday. From the way he got up, from the way that he handled himself. Everybody could acknowledge that something was wrong. The NFL, to me, has hid behind their concussion protocols, which if you've talked to any NFL player or heard them talk, they have told you how easy it is to pass the concussion protocols. There was a story last night told by Andrew Whitworth, who was the former left tackle for the Rams, played last year, won a Super Bowl. And he was talking about how he was able to get back in a game because he knew exactly how to pass the concussion protocol. And a teammate had to step in and say, no, 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 there's something wrong here. And that's why he couldn't go back in the game. I'm not saying the concussion protocol is invalid. I am saying, like most tests, there is a way to beat it. And the players have figured out a way to beat it. So sure, Tua passed the concussion protocol. But I don't think you need to be a neurosurgeon or a doctor to acknowledge that something was wrong with Tua's body last week. And the Dolphins over the last couple of days have tried to tell us, oh, everything's fine, everything's fine, he's okay, it's a back injury. You're like, okay, all right, I don't know about this. This doesn't feel right. I remember somebody said this one time. I went to a wine tasting. They said that everybody is a wine connoisseur. You want to know why? Because you know what tastes good. I ain't a doctor, but I got a sense when somebody physically doesn't look right. Like, you all right? You sick? I don't know, but you don't look right. I don't think you need to be I don't think you need to have a PhD to acknowledge this was unusual behavior. So you're watching this game, and then Tua gets hurt, and the way his body responded was one of the most gruesome and violent things I can remember watching football. It's really tough to watch in a sport in which it has desensitized you in watching gruesome things. It is a sport that you understand somebody can get carried off in a stretcher. Everybody claps. 30 seconds later, we're back to playing football. It has trained you that you are always moving forward. It has trained the players that you are always moving forward. But yesterday was a terrible look for the National Football League, and none of it matters. We're still talking about football games today. This weekend, we're excited about it. I plan on watching it. You plan on watching it. Sunday Night Football will get 19 million people to watch it. The ratings will be really good, and everything will move forward. It's hard for me to believe that the players even really care about player safety. Every single time the players have had a chance to fight for meaningful things, they have always taken the bag. Think about this. The owners added a game to the regular season. What do the players get in return? They get extra buy? What do they get other than more money? Oh, they got a couple easier practices. That's what they got. It was wild to me that the players allowed the owners to add a week to the regular season and then add two playoff teams and not give them any additional rest. I don't think the players really feel as strongly about player safety as they want us to believe either. You know what they care about? Financial safety. And as long as those checks keep coming, they will keep participating in whatever the owner suggests. That Amazon bag is healthy. Richard Sherman hated Thursday night football games when he was a player. He now works for Thursday night football. Most people have a cost, and we've learned what the NFL's cost is. They are willing to sell the players anything, and the players are happy to take that check. I feel really bad for Tua. He is caught up in a very dangerous system. But we just got to be honest here. The player safety is a myth. We know that playing football is terrible for your body. We all accept it, and we all accept the fact that they get paid handsomely to go out there and play football. We accept that. We accept that even though we know how hard it is to play football, they are going to have some of those players sign right back up to do it 3 days later for all of our enjoyment and for them to make boatloads of money. So I hear what the players are saying, and I got great respect for a guy like Mitchell Shorts, who I thought made a really good point that the NFL seemed to fight some things much harder than they fight to keep Tua off the field when it was clear that something was wrong. It was a scary sight yesterday. But the NFL has showed us exactly who they are every single step of the way. Their number one priority is to get you on the field, to get you in front of people that can buy tickets, and to get you in front of a television camera. And they will do everything that they can to protect that. And the players know it and sign up for each and every week, knowing that every week you are going to get paid what some people will never make in their entire lives. Coming up on the other side, we'll head to Tampa Bay to talk about one of the worst offenses in the National Football League and their quarterback, Tom Brady. That's all coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll actually give you a chance to win Sporting Kansas City tickets. We've got some for Sunday's game against the Seattle Sounders, and I'm in a very giving mood. We will play a game to give you a chance to win Sporting Kansas City tickets, but This Sunday night, you will have the opportunity to watch the Kansas City Chiefs take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Let's head to Tampa right now and be joined by Tom Krasnicki down in Tampa. Tom, how's it going?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good afternoon, guys. Doing well. How are you?
Doing fantastic. First off, how are things in Tampa? There's been a lot of conversation about the weather and everything happening with Hurricane Ian right now. How is Tampa Bay?
Well, the Tampa area itself went relatively unscathed. I mean, there was some rain. We've had a ton of rain in the month of September, so a lot of areas did flood, and there were some tree branches that came down power lines. A lot of people lost power. Nothing compared to what took place just 2 hours south of here in the Fort Myers area. I mean, you're talking about complete devastation down there, and thoughts and prayers with those people because their lives have changed forever. But in the Tampa area itself, we dodged a major bullet, no question.
Are you surprised that this game is being played in Tampa, just given the optics of it, given the resources that are used to hold an NFL game? A lot of people here thought that it was going to be moved to Minneapolis. Now, that might be that Minneapolis is actually the closest stadium to Arrowhead in the NFL, but are you surprised that this game is being held in Tampa?
Not really, because they did have the resources, as you mentioned, with, you know, adequate security, making sure the stadium was relatively upright, and it is. It suffered very little to no damage. So I think they had everything basically set up and ready to go for this game to be played on Sunday night because Tampa was relatively spared.
Right now we're talking to Tom Krasnicki, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, about Sunday's matchup against the Bucs. Let's start with this, Tom, from a big picture sense. What's wrong with the offense right now? Because this is a team that had Super Bowl aspirations and still obviously does, but they have had three touchdown drives so far this season.
It's a problem that Byron Leftwich is looking to work through, the offensive coordinator. They have not been good down in the red zone. They missed Gronk there really, really, really badly in the red zone. Third downs has not been great. And I think you can point to one reason. It's the injuries. I mean, they've been decimated at the wide receiver position. Mike Evans got himself suspended, so he was out for the last game. He'll be back for Sunday night. Julio Jones was really good in the Dallas game, and then he ends up hurting his knee on a 48-yard catch down the right sideline, and we haven't seen him since. He's got a shot to play on Sunday night, but it doesn't look all that great. And Donovan Smith, one of the better left tackles in the league, got hurt in the Dallas game too, and he's missed the last two games. They're hoping to get him back. So I think once they get their key left tackle back and some of their key wide receivers back, the problem isn't Tom Brady, guys, because his arm talent, you'll see him on Sunday night, it's still as good as it was last year when he threw for 43 touchdowns and over 5,300 yards. He's not the problem. It's the injuries. They're depleted at wide receiver and also right along their offensive line, too.
I was going to ask you that next. We've been kind of talking about that this week, if you think Tom Brady is done, and we've certainly had that conversation enough as sports fans. I don't think he's done at all. He was far too good last year for me to just go ahead and write him off. I think the group of receivers that he played with on Sunday against the Packers are worse than what he had his final year in New England. He just wasn't throwing to anybody these last couple of weeks.
You have to have his trust. If you don't have Tom Brady's trust, you're not going to be here. For instance, over the summer, Tyler Johnson had a really good summer in preseason, but he was dropping balls in preseason games, and I don't think Brady had a whole lot of trust in him. Thus, he didn't make the team. And Breshad Perriman, whom Brady has had a lot of trust in, did make the team over a guy like Tyler Johnson. So I think they're trying to piece things together. Once they do get guys healthy, I think he has infinite trust in Mike Evans. He has a lot of trust in Chris Godwin. He had a really good rapport going with Julio Jones certainly throughout the summer after Julio signed here, and he looked great, looked really good in the Dallas game. If Brady has trust in you, then I think you're made in the shade.
From an injury perspective, who do you expect to play versus not play on Sunday Night Football?
It's a really good question. Chris Godwin hurt himself in the Dallas game coming off the torn ACL, and then he had the hamstring problem that crept up in the Dallas game. I, for one, thought that the Buccaneers rushed him back, and he shouldn't have been playing in that game, but apparently I'm all alone with that sentiment. I think Julio Jones is a game-time decision. Same thing, Donovan Smith. You're going to see Mike Evans. You're going to see Russell Gage. And you're going to see Cole Beasley. They added him last week. He had three catches. I think Tom Brady likes throwing to him out of the slot. I think Evans, Beasley, and Perriman, for sure, along with Russell Gage, I think those four wide receivers you can basically count on. I'm not so sure on Godwin and Julio Jones at this point.
Right now we're talking to Tom Krasnicki, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for 620 WDAE down in Tampa. Let's talk about that defense. I think they have the best front seven in the league. That linebacker core is fast. Those defensive linemen can get after the quarterback. How good is this defense in your mind?
I think it's a top three unit in the NFL, guys, and I think you hit it right on the head. They're more athletic, and they're faster than they were from a year ago because Ndamukong Suh, who did bring a lot to this team in terms of his presence and nasty attitude, you know, but he was 34 going on 35. And I think that's what led the Buccaneers to sign Akeem Hicks, who unfortunately hurt his foot. He's going to be out for another couple of weeks. But they also spent their top pick on Logan Hall, who had a sack last week, and I think gives him some length and athleticism. And Joe Tryon-Chuwinka on the other side of Shaq Barrett is an outstanding player and I think an ascending player. And Devin White, guys, has been incredible through the first month, named the defensive player of the month for September. And on the back end, they've got depth. They've got guys like Antoine Winfield. They moved them down into the slot. Carlton Davis and Jamel Dean are off to a good start. Mike Edwards is a ball hawk at safety. So they're fast and physical, and they've got a nose for the ball. And I think they will be a handful for Patrick Mahomes on Sunday night.
When you speak of that defense and them being a handful, maybe this is me projecting just a little bit, but I want to get your thoughts on it. I don't think the Bucs front four, front seven have much respect for the Chiefs offensive line. Like, just reading what Shaquille Barrett said, remembering what the Tampa Bay defense said after the Super Bowl, how they thought Kansas City was gimmicky and they knew that they could push them around. I think they have a lot of respect, obviously, for Kelce and Patrick Mahomes. I don't know how you couldn't. I don't think that their defense has a lot of respect for Kansas City's offensive line.
I think some guys do, and yeah, Shaq's comments were probably on the disrespectful side because, look, Kansas City's offensive line is a lot different than what it was in the Super Bowl when Patrick Mahomes was running for his life. Creed Humphrey's a top three center in this league. Joe Tooney's an outstanding guard. Orlando Brown, a good tackle. So I think they have improved that unit by leaps and bounds. So yeah, I thought that was an interesting way of Shaq Barrett putting it. I know he's confident in himself. He certainly had a good Super Bowl, but there's no doubt this Kansas City offensive line should be respected. It's one of the better units in the league.
I want to get a couple of questions about Tom Brady in before we let you go here and appreciate your time. Tom doesn't look like he's having fun at all. Like, I believe this is Tom's last season. I wanted to see Tom Brady just go out on a happier note than this, but everything that's happening off the field, I wonder if it's carried over to on the field, because I'm a big believer that your team takes on the personality of its leader. And Tom just seems disinterested, and his mind is another place. And then I see them get a delay a game on a critical two-point conversion to try to send the game to overtime. It just seems like Tom and Tampa Bay has a lot of stuff going on right now.
He does off the field, but the one thing I've learned about being around him since he's been in Tampa Bay for 2 years is Tom Brady, more so than anybody I've ever seen, can compartmentalize better than anybody I've ever seen. Are there things going on off the field? Yes. I mean, I think there's some personal issues that he is dealing with at this point, and that is his business. But once he enters that facility and he gets around the guys, that's what football is all about. And he loves the camaraderie with his guys. The guys love to go to battle with him and vice versa. He's been frustrated through the first couple of games, I think, with the injuries and some other things. And, you know, last week's game, I mean, he's dealing with the skeleton crew at wide receiver. But I think as guys get healthier, I think he's going to be more efficient and certainly more productive in the passing game. I know the Bucs have been quite run-centric over the first three games or so. I think they will open up this offense on Sunday night with Mike Evans as number one receiver back.
Tom, last question here. Chiefs win if, Bucs win if, in your opinion?
I think the Chiefs win if they find a way to run the football with Clyde Edwards-Helaire and protect Patrick Mahomes. And I think the Bucs win if they open up this offense and throw it down the field the way Brady wants to do it, the way Byron Leftwich wants to do it. And obviously, guys, we know turnovers are a given. But I think the Buccaneers really need to open up this offense and be more efficient in the red zone. If they can do that, then I think they win this game.
That is Tom Krasnicki joining us on the show today from 620 WDAE in Tampa, giving us the Bucs perspective on Sunday Night Football. Tom, appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Enjoy the game.
Absolutely. That's Tom Krasnicki joining us on the show today to give us the Tampa Bay perspective of this game. Of all the units right now in the National Football League, Tampa Bay's offense is one of the hardest to trust. I understand they have Tom Brady, but right now we're talking about a team with a 45-year-old quarterback, a makeshift offensive line, and bad wide receiver parts. Chris Godwin is hurt. We know Julio Jones is hurt. He's been hurt for the last three consecutive years. I can't remember the last time Julio Jones was healthy. The last time Julio was healthy was that catch he made in the Super Bowl. That's the last time I remember seeing a healthy Julio Jones. Haven't seen it since. Tampa right now is wounded. I remember Denny Matthews always says this about the baseball season. It applies to all sports. Sports are about sometimes not who you play, but when you play them. Tampa Bay might be a good team week 8, week 9. They get a little healthier. They start to figure some things out. You get guys back. All right, Tampa's the team we thought they were going to be. Tampa has been bad so far this season. They have three offensive touchdowns. Three. One in each game. This is not a team offensively that is playing at a high level. That defense is humming. The defense is humming. But their offense is struggling. Coming up on the other side, there was a comparison that Mitch Holtis made earlier in the week for this Tampa Bay team. We'll play it for you next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio. Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Coming up in a bit, we'll give you a chance to win a pair of Sporting Kansas City tickets to their game this weekend against the Seattle Sounders. It is actually their last game of the year, if I'm not mistaken. I wanted to play for you guys something that Mitch Holtis said when he was on with us earlier this week and the team that he compared this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team to.
You know what Tampa Bay looks like to me right now? The 2015 Denver Broncos. We are starting to see a... I don't know about a decline in Tom Brady, but the numbers will stun you looking at what they've done. It's the Tampa Bay defense that is way underrated right now. They're number one in the league in fewest points allowed. They've got 8 takeaways in 3 games. They got a pick 6. Mike Edwards is really underrated at safety. The same dudes that wrecked the party at Super Bowl 55 are pretty much back. Vita Vea in the middle, who will just destroy everything in the earth. Those two linebackers, Devin White and Levante David, and those safeties, Antoine Winfield and Mike Williams. To me, this story of Tampa Bay Buccaneers, if they're going to get it done this year, will be that defense.
So that was Mitch Holtis earlier this week when we asked him to preview the game and that he thought that this Buccaneers team was a lot like the 2015 Denver Broncos. And honestly, based on what we've seen so far, that's not a bad comparison at all. This Tampa Bay team is broken offensively. Now, again, some of it is the injuries. Like, I don't want to completely discredit the fact that they had significant injuries up front that have contributed to this conversation, and they have had significant injuries to wide receiver. And Tom is going out there and throwing the ball to bums. I mean, last week, the team that Tom Brady played with, from an offensive standpoint, is worse than his last couple of years in New England. His leading receiver was Russell Gage. He got 13 targets. You shouldn't go into a game and with Russell Gage is getting 13 targets. That's Tyreek Hill territory. That's Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson. Russell Gage got 13 balls thrown his way yesterday or last week and had less than 100 yards. Cameron Brate was his number two option. Breshad Perriman, who was a failed number one pick. Jalen Darden. I've never heard of Jalen Darden a day in my life. Kyle Rudolph. Kyle Rudolph was a thing 6 years ago with the Minnesota Vikings. He caught a pass last week. I don't think that Tom is done. I don't think that Tom is washed. I think right now Tom looks like a 45-year-old quarterback that is playing when things aren't ideal. I think we saw Tom's last year in New England and first year in Tampa Bay. If you are going to put parts around Tom, he's got a chance to be really, really productive. But if you're going to give him lesser, he's not a guy that can do more with less like he used to. It's not 2011 anymore. The old Tom Brady might have made this work. Old Tom Brady can't make this work. The old Tom Brady would have made Russell Gage a Pro Bowler, would have got Cameron Brate 700 yards receiving over the course of the year. This version of Tom Brady just doesn't have the physical strength to do that anymore. So I don't think Tom is done. I think the parts around him are as bad as any team in the league, but just that defense is so good. I think Tom's even got more in the tank than what Manning had at the end. I thought physically at the end, Manning was shot, I thought, at the end. I don't think that Brady is shot physically. He might be shot emotionally. He's got a lot of stuff going on. I don't think that he is shot physically. I think they have just given him bottom basement parts when it comes to the amount of talent that is around him. We're going to give you guys a chance to win a pair of Sporting Kansas City tickets here in just a little bit, but maybe some of you are not aware of this. So there was, I don't want to call it a story in the Kansas City Star because that wouldn't be very accurate, but they do these opinion pieces. And in the Star, the headline reads, "He's a great quarterback, sure, but he only cares about how he looks, not his team. Opinion." So I ain't gonna lie to you. I fell for it. I clicked on it because I was curious. I was like, oh, who wrote this? Like, is this somebody we need to have on the show? Because I'd like to talk to him more about why they feel this way. And then Jed, I clicked on it. Now, I want to be clear about what this is because I know that we don't click on links anymore and we just read the headline and think we know the story. This is not a story. This is an opinion from a man named John Grimer in Glen Carbon, Illinois.
Which is where you would want to go for the Kansas City beat.
Why is the opinion of John Grimer of Glen Carbon, Illinois, worthy of its own headline picture in the Kansas City Star? I love the Kansas City Star. Got great respect for Sam McDowell. Love Sam Mellinger to death. Love Vahe Gregorian. I think the Star is one of the finest papers in the country. This is beneath the Kansas City Star to post this. They posted an anonymous tweet as a news story. Listen to this. It is four sentences. "After watching the Kansas City Chiefs for the past 2 years, I think it is clear that Patrick Mahomes is not a team player. He doesn't care if the team wins or loses. All he cares about is how he looks. It is beginning to look very obvious. He is a good quarterback, but doesn't really care about his team as a whole." That is the entire piece. It's not even the only piece in this thing. There's other news things in here. There's a thing about tax cuts, tax breaks, the streetcar. It's a real opinion piece. If that's what it is, then let it be that, but have this in the mix. I don't really understand the clickbait game. I can't imagine it being that hard out here that you got to be that hard up for engagement and people to click on the links. And maybe that's just what journalism has turned into, and I am just being naive to it. But the juice just doesn't seem like it's worth the squeeze. If you're the Kansas City Star, other than people clicking on the link, what is the positive of this being in your publication? What is the positive of upsetting your readership, upsetting the team, upsetting the quarterback of the team, his family, over four sentences from John Grimer of Glen Carbon, Illinois? This doesn't make any sense to me. I do not understand it. It's still up. It's still up. After all of this, this seems like a very easy thing to simply delete and say, we are going to change how we do this. Some of you guys are old like I am. Jed, you probably remember this. Do you remember back in the Kansas City Star sports page, they had the voices where you could call up the little hotline and you could leave like a little funny one-liner and then it would be in the Kansas City Star sports section?
I do. And being someone who worked at the Kansas City Star, this is very disappointing to me. I mean, it's not journalism, which is what their primary responsibility should be. And I'm not trying to run down anyone who works there, but it, to me, is outlandish, to your point.
I just don't understand when we started turning the voices section into something that needed its own page on the Star. You're entitled to your opinion. I'm not even saying there's no place for this opinion in your newspaper. If you want to do the voices and you say that, cool. But the only purpose of this post from at KC Star is to generate revenue through people clicking on the story. That's not what the Star should be. That's not what journalism should be. That's not the brand that I think the Star is. This is down bad. This is sad. Especially during a time, if we want to stand on our political soapbox, where people have an inherent distrust of the American media.
What?
I'm not gonna give you a reason to discredit me. I'm not gonna hand it to you. You handed it to them. I wouldn't do that. It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't get why you would do that. I don't understand. It is mind-blowing to me that this was not only typed out by somebody from the Star. They created a story with this as the headline to it. It is only going to bring negative attention during a time in which newspapers don't really need to be generating negative attention. I don't know who we need to send this opinion to, because I'm happy to send this opinion to. Let's figure out who to send this opinion to. But this was a terrible idea from the Kansas City Star, an absolutely awful idea from the Kansas City Star. All right, we need one caller, 913-586-7610. We are going to play a game here to give you a chance to win Sporting Kansas City tickets. We will do that here coming up in less than 3 minutes. So call up 913-586-7610. Jed, you screen the phone call. We'll take them. We'll give somebody a chance to win some Sporting Kansas City tickets. But I want to play for you something that Tom Krasnicki had to say when he was on here just a bit ago. We asked him, Chiefs win if, Bucks win if. Here was his answer.
I think the Chiefs win if they find a way to run the football with Clyde Edwards-Helaire and protect Patrick Mahomes. And I think the Bucks win if they open up this offense and throw it down the field the way Brady wants to do it, the way Byron Leftwich wants to do it. And obviously, guys, we know turnovers are a given. But I think the Buccaneers really need to open up this offense and be more efficient in the red zone. If they can do that, then I think they win this game.
I think this is going to be a game in which Pat is going to need to be Superman. I think Pat is going to need to be Superman. With the way the Chiefs offensive line is playing right now and with the lack of explosive weapons that they have outside of Travis Kelce, there's not a whole lot of people that I trust right now on the Chiefs offense. I trust Mahomes. I trust Kelce. That's about it right now. Maybe you trust Creed Humphrey, but I think Creed Humphrey is going to have his hands full in this matchup. This is a game to me. If you want to see why I think they gave Patrick Mahomes $500 million, this is one of those kind of games. Tampa Bay is allowing 79 yards rushing per game. I don't think the Chiefs are running the ball very effectively in this game, if at all. I think it is going to be a lot of Patrick Mahomes all the time. He is going to have to make magic, escape, stay on his feet, push through adversity. This is going to be a game in which you are going to see Pat get frustrated at times, but you can't lose the mental edge and focus that you have on this game. You got to stay sharp. You got to stay engaged. Tampa Bay's defense is designed to frustrate you, and they will be able to do it because of how well they get pressure. We have seen what the weakness is for the Chiefs. It's not much different than any other team. If you can get pressure with your front three or front four, you can make it a long day for Mahomes. But looking at the offense of Tampa Bay, this game should never get that far to reach. Tampa hasn't been able to score on anybody. And with the way that this Chiefs defense has been playing, I don't expect them to be able to go out there and really put up a lot of points against Kansas City either. I expect this game to be mostly low scoring. Tampa really hasn't shown that they can put up points. And I think the Chiefs are really going to struggle to run the football and protect their quarterback. If you had a tough time dealing with Indianapolis's pass rush and you're coming into this banged up, I think you are going to have a difficult time with Tampa Bay's front four, front seven. Tampa Bay has arguably the best defense in the league. I think this is the game in which they're going to ask Pat, you got to go be special and you got to win it for us. You got to figure out a way here. We'll continue to work this thing out. We'll continue to figure it out, but let's get down the road. Next week, we got the Raiders at home. Let's just figure out a way. We don't care how we got to do it. 17-14, we'll figure out a way to do this. I think this game is going to be incredibly low scoring, which is going to keep this game close for most of it because of how good Kansas City's defense is, I think, up going up against Tampa Bay's offense, and how much I think Tampa's going to be able to get pressure on Patrick Mahomes. Jed, who would he have on the phone line? My screen has gone out.
Let's go to David.
All right, David, we're going to play a very simple game.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's feeling it.
Champion dot.
You never know when it's going to happen, but it's always your chance to win. Here's another edition of C-Dot's Trivia Minigame on The Drive.
All right, David, we are going to play a very simple game. Turn the music up, Jay. Turn the music up. We are going to play a very simple game here called Do You Know Tom? The rules are very simple. I am going to give you a clue, and then you tell me, based on that clue, who that person is. Everybody's first name here is Tom. So if I ask you, who is the starting quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Jed, what's the right answer?
I believe it's Tom.
Tom Brady is the correct answer to the question. You said it was David?
David, he's on the line.
David, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, David, I appreciate you. Are you ready to play? Do you know Tom?
Let's get it.
All right, we have seven of these. If you get five out of the seven, you get a pair of tickets to Sporting Kansas City. All right, first up, this person famously jumped on Oprah's couch while professing his love for Katie Holmes.
Tom Cruise.
That is Tom Cruise. Next up, this person had an MTV show and was once married to Drew Barrymore.
Tom Green?
Tom Green is the correct answer. Next up, he is a longtime television star who has starred in shows like Blue Bloods and also has one amazing mustache.
Tom Downing?
It is not Tom Downing. It is Tom Selleck is the correct answer of that. It is okay. No worries. You still got some names to play with here. He was the 22-year host of NBC's Nightly News.
Tom Brokaw
is the correct answer. You're doing fantastic. This artist was Carlton Banks' favorite musician. This artist was Carlton Banks' favorite musician.
Tom Petty?
Not Tom Petty. It is Tom Jones was Carlton Banks' favorite musician. You remember, it's not unusual. That was the song that would always play when he did the Carlton dance.
Oh, yeah.
All right, you can't get another one wrong.
No pressure.
Some people consider him to be the greatest actor alive, and his best friend was a volleyball. Some people consider him to be the greatest actor alive, and his best friend was a volleyball.
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks is the correct answer. Last one here. He has starred in movies such as Mad Max and also The Dark Knight Rises.
Tommy Lee Jones?
Tommy Lee Jones is not the right answer. David, you know the rules. We have to hang up on you. That's the rule. We have to hang up on you. That's how the game goes. I feel bad. He was one away. He was one away from getting the Sporting Kansas City tickets.
And those were layups.
Oh, my goodness. So close, yet so far.
I also, my favorite part about this whole segment, Dot, is when you said, let's come up with all these things, and then you used one of my 10 that I came up with.
I used the general spirit of it. I mean, I used the spirit of it.
The idea, yeah.
Yeah, no, I used the spirit of
it. It's a Friday.
It was a help. All right, I mean, you guys know how this works. We have to give the text line a chance to win the tickets. That's how it works here. 913-586-7610. That's the last one that we have. Starred in movies such as Mad Max and also The Dark Knight Rises. They know Tom. We'll give the tickets away. 913-586-7610. I didn't want to hang up on our guy David, but yet we were forced to hang up on our guy David. Coming up on the other side, there is something I've noticed about Tom Brady over the years in comparison to other great athletes. I'll explain what I mean more on the other side. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
Looking for soccer content? Check out Rob's Nutmeg Podcast on the 435 Podcast Network. Available at 610sports.com and the Odyssey app. 610 Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.